Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Count your blessings. That's what Christian Aid is inviting every one of us to do throughout the Lenten season, with a special calendar with a thought for every day. We hear about the reality of a radio station in Liverpool that not only informs and entertains, but goes out of its way to help its listeners solve every kind of problem. And Father Jim Brand reflects on the beauty of prayer and on how there's no need to try and explain God, as we risk just explaining him away. Are you giving up something for Lent? Chocolate, maybe? Or alcohol? That's what most of us do, or at least intend doing year after year, fired by good intentions at the start of the Lenten season. I was thinking about what to do this year when I came across an initiative that expresses a radically different approach. Give up giving up, it suggested, and give instead. Sounds like a good idea, but what's it all about? I decided to find out more and called up Anne Phipps, a fundraiser for Christian Aid, and the person responsible for drawing up the initiative in question. It's actually a calendar to accompany you throughout Lent, with something to get you thinking each day, counting your blessings, and making a difference for some of the world's poorest people. But first of all, I asked Anne, what exactly is Christian Aid?
Christian Aid is the overseas development agency of the churches in the UK. So we represent the churches really in doing development work overseas.
Now, surfing your website, I was intrigued by this section entitled Count Your Blessings, Lent 2007. Will you tell me about this initiative and what prompted it?
Yeah, Count Your Blessings really came about because we wanted to help people engage with issues in the developing world, but also give them a little bit of something different to do during Lent. And I know that personally I've sometimes used Lent as a reason to try and diet again or give up alcohol rather than actually engaging with God and with issues particularly. So we wanted to give people a reflective and kind of purposeful Lenten experience and give them also the opportunity to give to people in the developing world.
Now, I downloaded your guide off the computer. It's actually a calendar, and for every day of Lent, you have a thought regarding a different reality. And coupled with each reflection, there's an invitation to give a tiny amount of money to help some of the world's poorest people. Will you give me an example? Will you describe the calendar, how it works, and what happens to these donations?
Yeah, each day we wanted to help people to engage with some of the most difficult issues in the developing world. So we've given facts, whether it's about water or education or conflict, and asked people to reflect on those and then be prompted into giving. So, for instance, on one day it says more than half the people in Mali have no access to safe, clean drinking water, which is still quite a shocking fact, I think, for like 2007. And then in response to that, we've asked people to give 10 cents for every time you turn on the tap during that day. And we're hoping that people will have a little pot or a little jam jar next to this resource. And each day they'll put in those few cents or few pence and add it up at the end and send it into Christian Aid. So we will then use it for work with obviously the world's poorest communities.
The themes you touch on are very wide-ranging, but basically they're social justice, war, the effects of climate change on the poor and poverty. But you also have a thought for the 300,000 people in the UK who will wear out shoe leather collecting for Christian Aid Week in six weeks' time. And you also have reflections on holy events of this period. How did you choose the reflections?
Well, just thinking of Christian Aid Week, that's one of our biggest events in the UK. We have 1 week every year in May where people go out and really put their faith on the line by knocking on doors and asking for money for people in the developing world. And each year that raises about £14 million, which is just astonishing because it is just very small amounts of money from each household in the UK. So that was really key. We wanted to flag that up in this calendar. But also, obviously, the time of Lent is a great time for reflection, not only on the developing world, but also to think about God and be thankful for what we have. So we wanted to make sure that the calendar was actually represented in that, particularly on Good Friday and at the end of Lent, really, to make sure that people were really giving thanks to God as well as putting their hands in their pockets.
You mentioned the Mali reflection, and would you like to pick out maybe another of your favourite reflections or the ones that inspire you the most and share them with us?
Sure. Well, one of the things that Christian Aid's really focused on recently is the effect of climate change on the poor, and particularly how accountable we are in the Western world for the fact that we've put so much carbon into the atmosphere, and yet it's the poorest people who are really feeling the effects, whether it's in drought or in flooding. All kinds of terrible things really are happening. And so one of the reflections is that nearly one third of the world's population is still off-grid, that is, you know, living without an electricity supply. And we've just asked that everyone give 10 cents for every plug socket they have in their home. And we're also asking people to make sure they're turning off their electrical appliances. So we're asking people to give for all those appliances that they've left on overnight, just to show people that there is a kind of a cause and effect, really, and that people are suffering because of the actions that we take daily.
In your experience, are people generally really more caring or prone to giving during the Lenten period?
It's interesting. I think a lot of people aren't actually being challenged on it, and Lent has become perhaps something where you give up rather than actually giving. But there's such a great tradition of Lenten giving through church history that I think it's something that people are really keen to take up again, and not just to use Lent as a way of dieting, basically, but to actually use it to have a kind of a deep and profound experience of God, and also then to do something practical with it, because we don't want to make people feel guilty and sit and, you know, feel bad about having a nice house or having clean water, but this gives you a practical way of doing something about it, and I think people really are up for doing that during Lent. Yeah, definitely.
Is this the first year you've published your Lenten Count Your Blessings calendar?
No, it started originally as just a small regional initiative, and it got such a positive response, not just in terms of what money came in, but also how people were interacting with it and praying and really deepening their relationship with God and also with the developing world, that we did it nationally last year, and all of those pennies raised over £50,000. So we really wanted it to go to an even broader audience this year.
Do you have an aim this year? You're aiming for a specific amount of money, or whatever comes in is welcome?
I mean, everything that comes in is welcome, but I mean, particularly with this resource, obviously I am a fundraiser, so I'm always happy to see money coming in for the world's poorest people. But also with this particular resource, what's been so lovely is the number of people who've written back to us and said that this has, you know, been a really positive experience for them, has really enriched their Lent. And so I'm hoping that just more people will take it up, really, and will look at some of these facts about the developing world and be challenged by them, and really give thanks to God for what they have.
Yes, maybe I forgot to mention this, but the initiative is actually called Count Your Blessings and aims to challenge people to really think about the predicament of so many others who just happen to be less lucky than ourselves.
Yeah, we really want to challenge people. And one of the, actually just looking down now, looking at one of the facts, that it would take 2.5 billion euros extra money to give everyone in the world clean water. And you think that's a huge amount of money. And then below it, it says that we spend 68.5 billion euros a year on bottled water. And when you look at it in that perspective, I think it does really challenge people. And yeah, I hope more people will be challenged.
Well, I think it's a good idea. And in fact, just reading the reflections printed day by day on the Count Your Blessings calendar is food for thought and for penitence.
I asked Anne what one must do to actually take up the challenge.
If people wanted to take up this resource, it is on our website, and there are versions in euros and in pounds. If you just go to the website and look up worship.
So will you give us your website?
Of course. Our web address is obviously www.christianaid.org.uk.
And you can go straight to Count Your Blessings?
Yeah, if you just click on Worship, there's a little Worship tab and it'll take you through to the Lent resources.
Probably does transpire through my programme that doing radio is something I really enjoy. I feel so privileged to ride through the city to this nice sunny office every morning, open the window for a quick glance at St. Peter's Square, and spend my working hours talking to interesting people, learning about the world, writing up my thoughts and discoveries, choosing the right music for each programme. And I'm not the only one. Helen Jones, producer for Radio Merseyside in Liverpool, feels much the same as I do, as she told me the other day when she popped into Vatican Radio for a visit during a brief stay in Rome.
Radio Merseyside is part of the BBC local radio network, and it's quite a lovely time to be there because we're celebrating our 40th birthday. Our catchment area is Wirral, Chester, so it's quite a big area that we serve. Predominantly the listeners call it Radio Liverpool because we're based right in the centre, and a lot of listeners aren't aware that it is part of the BBC because it's theirs, quote.
Tell me more about Radio Merseyside, I said to Helen. What does a typical daily programme schedule look like?
The breakfast show is kind of aimed for parents and children, really. We have a great presenter that's really good at bringing out comedy and stuff from parents taking the kids to school. The mid-morning programme is the current affairs, plus then the phone-in. Our afternoon presenter, Billy Butler, is a bit of an icon of the area. He actually used to DJ in the Cavern. I would obviously introduce the Beatles. He's not just known for that now, because in his own right, he presents... He's kind of got his own take on life, really. So he plays mainstream music, but also up-and-coming bands as well. But he's... you either love him or hate him. He's got a mixed following.
All this, she explained, is broken up by news bulletins, music programmes, current affairs features, and so on. But especially, Helen said, there's a social side to the radio that has a real impact on people's lives.
On BBC Radio Merseyside, we have a social action department, which is an action desk. So from 10 till 5, Monday to Friday, listeners can phone us with problems. They can phone if you're linked to a charity or an organisation that might need some extra support. So my job is to broadcast within the programmes. Innovative ways of getting people to phone us. So it might be that there's a blood shortage at the local hospital. So it's my job to kind of creatively get somebody linked to the particular item it is I'm broadcasting to get people to be involved. Some of the subject matter can be deemed quite worthy. So I try and get... I never go for the chief execs of a charity, for example. I prefer to start with the person at ground level that maybe does volunteer. But it's kind of a call to action is my job, really, where I try and get listeners to help charities that need support, or awareness campaigns as well. Get men to have health checks because they, you know, in some cases they might not because they think, oh no, it's okay.
I asked Helen to tell me one of the stories that she has been personally involved in.
I think one of my most powerful projects that we were involved with, and how the people of Merseyside did rally round, we were collecting pens for South Africa. A listener had been away on holiday and visited a local school. and really couldn't believe the fact that they didn't have writing implements. So she came back to the radio station and asked us, would we support her with her mission to collect biros, pencils, you name it. So over a period of 6 weeks we ran the campaign for, we collected 1 million pens. We then got support from local businesses to help us ship the items out. And my favourite, if you could pinch me for being in radio, it was this particular moment when a listener came in and you could visibly see that they lived rough. It was a lady, you could see the toes hanging out from her feet. And she opened the inside of her coat and she'd been to every bingo hall, every betting shop to find the small biros, which thankfully she'd stolen, but we were okay with that, so she could give them to our appeal. And I just thought, nothing. She didn't have anything, but yet she still supported the campaign. So we then got the fantastic feedback from the school children in South Africa, where we did a two-way with the schools, who then could use the pens. So that was good.
The power of the help desk, Helen says, has grown immensely with the possibilities of new technology.
I think with the power of technology now as well, with the internet, we have quite a few listeners that do listen online. And I think for my department, we are a lifeline. This was a scenario where the son lived away and he was really concerned about his father because they wanted a ramp building at the back of the property in Liverpool. And through social services and through the council, it was going to be done, but not quick enough, and it was an urgent thing that needed to be done. So we as a radio station got involved because his son lived in Perth and couldn't do anything. So we acted on behalf of our listener's kind of son, who we did get social services involved. But what is so powerful about it is, I think the fear of possibly they think we're going to put them on the radio because they haven't done it. Not at all. We act as a go-between purely because we can, and we have the kind of means and resources. We have so many contacts, and I think that's what makes it quite a special place to be, really, in that across the network of the BBC local radio, there is an action desk in every station. But I really do feel for the area that we serve, we never get negative responses. We always get good responses to our appeals. I think that's what makes it. You can see a reward in the broadcasting that you're actually doing.
It's quite clear that Helen, like myself, finds her job immensely rewarding. Not only is she spending her time doing something interesting, she's playing an important part in helping people, finding solutions to sometimes vital problems. And radio, she told me, has always played a special part in her life.
I've always wanted to work in radio since the age of about 13. And the reason purely is because my radio was my friend when I was that age. I'm the only girl of five brothers who all did their own thing, really. And I just thought, isn't it amazing how words can come out of a radio? It was Radio Luxembourg. I used to kind of manage just about to hear it. And I one day said to myself, I really do want to do that, to bring pleasure to other people. I think what inspires me is the power of radio and the intimacy of radio. I love whenever I travel listening to different stations, because I think it's something that is quicker than reading a newspaper. It's there and you can carry it with you.
It really keeps you company.
It does.
And now Father Jim Brand, spiritual director of the Pontifical Beda College, continues in his meditations on the beauty of prayer. Some sermons, he says, explain God and explain God away. Rather, look about you and you shall see him playing with your children.
Hello, it's Father Jim. For Lent, I'm making some noises about prayer, fasting and alms deeds, which our Lord asked us to observe in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 to 7. And I was talking about prayer, and saying that we are a statement of God. Each person is spoken into being. But a form of prayer that helps most people is what they call Lectio Divina, where you take something beautiful, you think about it, you pray about it, and you just sit with it in silence and wonder and thanks. And this is one of the poems from the Prophet by Khalil Gibran, Lebanese mystic. I've already shared in the past one on friendship. This is about religion, which for me sums up that prayer covers everything, really. The Prophet has come from a far country to spend a while with the people. Now that it's time for him to be taken away and they could see the smoke of the ship on the horizon coming to... But before he's taken away from them, it's obviously the Lord, I think. They say, speak to us of prayer, speak to us of children, what do you have to say about friendship and love? And an old priest said, speak to us of religion. And he, the Prophet, said, Have I spoken this day of aught else? Is not religion all deeds and all reflection and that which is neither deed nor reflection, but a wonder and a surprise ever springing in the soul, even while the hands hew the stone or tend the loom? Just pausing there in the poem, I go out into the garden to plant my plants, or I'm on the balcony sowing seeds or pricking out the seeds. I used to go into church when there's nobody there and play a piano concerto on the piano in front of the tabernacle. That was my prayer. Or I'd go and play an organ concerto. Hope our Lord liked it. Entertain him. I once saw a wonderful clip of a juggler in front of a statue of Our Lady. I think he had five balls. He was juggling with the balls and sort of looking it up at Our Lady as if they... I'm doing this for you. Wonderful way of praying, if that's him. The poem continues. Who can separate his faith from his actions, or his belief from his occupations? Who can spread his arms before him, saying that that's for God, and this is for myself, this is for my soul, this other's for my body? That's doing a vivisection on oneself. And sometimes people go into church to pray. They leave their umbrella on the hook at the back with their overcoat. They hang their body up there and go in as a soul. And they wonder why they can't pray, because they aren't all there. We're talking about human prayer being brought into the divine prayer. We mustn't get a crowbar between them. The poem continues, all your hours are wings that beat through space from self to self. And he who wears his morality but his best garment were better naked. The wind and the sun will tear no holes in his skin. And he who defines his conduct by ethics imprisons his songbird in a cage. And the freest song comes not through bars and wires. Makes me think, have you ever met somebody who's offering you up for the souls in purgatory? Talk about a freeze-off. Or one eyeball's looking at you and the other eyeball's looking at the crucifix on the wall, as if I'm being played off against Christ. Don't let's play off others against God. We can only say we love the God we can't see if we love the brother or sister we can see. Otherwise we're out of focus for our neighbour and out of focus for God. Our eyeballs are all over the shop. And it continues, for he to whom worshipping is a window to open, but also to shut, hasn't yet visited the house of his soul whose windows are from dawn to dawn. So the whole universe is sacred and a sanctuary. Don't let's play off religious and secular. Everything is sacred. Our homes are the greatest sanctuary. I used to be embarrassed when asked to bless homes at Easter. And I used to say, I'm the one who's blessed by being allowed to come into your holy home, where people love each other. Parents are the high priests of their family, really. But we sometimes stick God in sanctuaries or holy places. I'm not a great one for shrines. I find Our Lady in the greenhouse. I find the Lord everywhere. So the prophet continues, your daily life is your temple and your religion, and whenever you enter it, take with you your all. Take the plough and the forge and the mallet and the lute, the things you fashion in necessity or for delight. In other words, work and play. For in reverie you can't rise above your achievements, nor fall lower than your failures. You know, Jim's just Jim, that's all. Here I am, Lord. And take with you all men. The church is not meant to be a ghetto. All. Be a universalist. Take with you the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Jains and the unbelievers and the atheists and the humanists. Because God loves all. All people have been spoken into being by God. For in adoration you cannot fly higher than their hopes, nor humble yourself lower than their despair. We're just ordinary people. And what we care is this: if God loves Roman Catholics, there's hope for the Hindus. If God loves Jim, there's hope for everybody, I tell you. We're not supposed to be superior or inferior. We're just by God's grace. And if you would know God, be not therefore a solver of riddles. One of the greatest riddles is God. Some sermons explain God and explain God away. How dare one explain God? It's the great unknown, the cloud of unknowing, the great mystery. The more we know, the more we realize we've hardly started. So don't solve riddles, and certainly don't explain parables, please, or you'll explain them away. Rather, look about you and you shall see him playing with your children. I always used to spend hours in the playground, just amazed at seeing children play. I wish grown-ups could play, too. And look into space, and you'll see him walking in the cloud, outstretching his arms in the lightning and descending in rain. And you shall see him smiling in flowers, then rising and waving his hands in the trees. Amen.
That's all from the English feature programme today, but we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.